Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Dr. Lawyer, Indian Chief. For my life lives on screen with the yellow fear and fearless eyes. Stemper all the times I've tried.
Welcome to Court Appointed, Tudor's perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Tommy, I am super excited.
How come?
I got an email today, and I am going to be rich.
Well, good, because when you're rich, we're all rich.
That's right.
Right, bro?
That's right. Trickle down family-nomics.
Trickle down economics?
Family-nomics.
Family-nomics.
That's right. No, right. And some
let her fly. I'm waiting under you for the trickle to flow on me.
Some prince in Nigeria. Oh, that sounds horrible. Some prince in Nigeria sent me an email, and evidently he has a fortune, and all he needs me to do is to put that money into my trust account and then write him a check for half of it, and then I get to keep the rest just for that simple transaction.
Can that sounds like a great deal.
I know.
Damn, you have all the luck. I'd never get that kind of luck.
I know. He did stipulate that I have to, as soon as I deposit his check in my trust account, I have to send that check out to him immediately. I can't wait for it to clear, though.
Well, that's all right with that kind of money involved. Who cares?
You got to take risks.
That's right. That's what life's all about. Grab for the gusto.
No guts, no glory, somebody once told me when I was younger.
That's right. No pain, no gain. And also said, don't hit the brakes before you go over the ramp.
You did, and I hit the brakes.
I know, and you did a nosedive. We nearly lost poor Mike at that point. He almost never became a lawyer.
That was my first in a series of concussions.
And they're like, who was watching him? I built the ramp.
Yeah. Well,
you built the damn ramp.
We had a large hill going down my driveway growing up, and Tommy was in town. I think you lived out of town at that point, and you were in town visiting. And you helped me construct a ramp out of some cinder blocks and some plywood for me to ramp my bike off of at the bottom of the hill.
It was a damn fine ramp, too.
It was. And I think probably now, if I did it, I'd probably do a much better job of it. Maybe we should do that for some bonus content. You build a ramp, and I ramp a bike over top of it now.
I don't want to lose you, son. I almost lost you once.
Well, anyway, Tommy's only advice was, don't slow down. Just power through it.
Do not hit the brakes.
And I don't know what happened, but I guess I hit the brakes near the top of the ramp, and I went...
The bike didn't go, and you went right over the handlebars.
Ass over elbows.
And landed face first in the dirt and came up spitting grass.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had a concussion. Your feet went over your head. I don't know. I looked like a pretzel the way you were bent.
And in true Tommy fashion, he made a rap about it. Would you like to share that?
I don't think I can remember it, but I know. My name is Michael. How did that go?
So, my name is Michael. I fell off a cycle. I ate a little dirt, and it made my face hurt.
There you go. That sounds right.
Something like that.
See, you still remember it. It was a lasting impression on my consumers.
Yeah, well, I have a lasting impression in my face from that, I think.
I'll say.
Well, but back to our intro.
Back to your prints and yes. All the money we're yes. about to receive.
That's what's common. I really didn't get an email. That was kind of a bit we're doing for you guys.
What? Yeah. There's no money?
There's no money. I was starting to get y'all excited.
I was waiting for it to trickle down on me.
Yeah, keep waiting. It'll trickle down eventually after this beer finishes. But no, this is a scam that happens to a lot of people. They get these emails, and back in the day, it used to be faxes that would come through. And they've been dubbed 419 scams, and that usually is because 419 is the country prefix for Nigeria, where a lot of these things originate.
You know, it's amazing to me that anybody actually falls for those things, but as old as that is, because that's been coming out, like you say, when faxes were the most common thing, let alone emails, because now most of them come by email, and they've changed it up some. Sometimes it's some other country that they're coming from. They're not necessarily a prince. They're just a rich person.
Right.
And the family all died in a plane crash and left all the money to this one person and all kinds of things like that. But the thing is, somebody must be falling for it still, or they wouldn't still be doing it.
Yeah, I don't think they have much else to do with their time in these countries, so they just keep doing it and see what happens. I know somebody had sent me something, and there's in the Florida Bar News, it comes out, it's this paper that comes out once a month or weekly or something. I don't know. Anyway, it shows up in my mailbox every so often. It comes out. Anyway, there's always warnings in there.
It comes from somewhere. Yeah, I don't have any idea. It just shows up.
It's in my mailbox.
Whatever it says must be true because it's printed.
It comes from the Florida Bar. It's got to be good. And it basically tells lawyers to be wary of these different scams where people are wanting you to put money into your trust account and then write checks out from it. So, and that's, you know, not good, because what they're doing is they're going to get you to bounce your trust account, because if you do that, you're taking money from other clients. And it's just, you know, you're going to be in a world of pain.
Because the check is no good.
That's right. The check is no good.
And in a lot of cases, the check is never exchanged. They say, we want to deposit it directly into your bank. So give us all your banking account information so that we may deposit this multi-million dollar check for you. And in your greed and haste, you give it to them. Next thing you know, they've cleaned you out.
I played along with one of them one time.
Yeah.
There was somebody, and they said that there was a Dr. Meadows who lived in, where was it? It was some African country. And he had unfortunately passed.
Zimbabwe.
Might have been Zimbabwe.
I always wanted to say Zimbabwe.
Could have been Chad.
Chad?
Yeah.
Chad Pennington? He's my hero. Don't talk about Chad like that.
Chad Africa.
Chad Africa? Never heard of him. Who'd he play for? What number was he?
He was a four-star blue chip. Maybe didn't pan out.
Was he hanging? Yeah, hanging Chad?
So the guy wrote me and he wanted me to basically say I was a relative of this Dr. Meadows, and he said he would split the money with me. So I wrote him back and said that I didn't think the split was fair, that I wanted a higher percentage and all this stuff. And I went back and forth with him for, I don't know, three or four correspondences, and it was pretty fun. But then I lost interest in.
You lost interest in haggling over the scammer amount of money that you would never receive.
Yeah, it was just kind of for fun too.
You sound like my dad. My dad, though, is 83 years old, and when telemarketers call him on the phone, he wants to get into their life story and ask them why they're wasting their lives calling him on the phone to try to sell him something when he's never going to buy it. So.
And he probably knows that they're not allowed to hang up on him, so he's got a captive audience.
I don't think he knows that. He just likes to be contrary.
Yeah, your dad. Whoa, I have no microphone. Just went all willy-nilly on me.
Well, you probably bought that from some scam place, and that's what happened.
I don't know. I'm breaking Justin's stuff down here.
Don't do that. They'll kick us out of McElroy Studios.
I know. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was when Lost was on, and I told him that I was contacted by some other scammer named Mr. Echo. And he said, do not talk to Mr. Echo. He is not true like me and all this stuff. It was pretty funny.
Well, he had to know you were playing him at that point.
I don't think he did.
But yet he played along with Mr. Echo.
Yeah, he did. I don't think he watched Lost, just like you. Maybe he couldn't find it.
That's right. That's what my problem was.
Well, this topic was brought up by several people on our court-appointed Facebook page.
It stemmed from our last podcast when we talked about, you made the comment that a lot of these credit bureaus or credit consolidation groups that call you up and offer to consolidate your debt for you are actually scams.
Yeah. I mean, they're legal scams because what they're doing is not illegal. It's just, you know, not in your best interest. It's in their best interest.
Well, there are some, though, that are absolutely scams.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
They say, okay, you pay us a fee up front and we're going to fix your credit problems.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen.
No.
You're throwing away more money that you don't have.
I think it was Jake Peterson. I think he said he works in a credit card fraud bureau thing. He had said he had some stories and some tips on the Facebook page.
They deal with it. And we had, who was it, Jen Rosenblum, that said her dad worked for the IRS, and they've seen several IRS scams come out.
Yep. Andrea D., she commented on it as well. I think she had some experience with the CFPB, the credit something or another. What was that?
Credit Fraud Prevention Bureau.
Yeah, which I'd never heard of. I guess she deals with that.
Well, it was an organization that was formed by the government fairly recently. I have my own problems with them, but they are serving some good as far as helping out the citizens. They just have a deep pockets of ours, of our money. They are spending more. Their building was supposed to cost $51 million, and it has now reached a price of $216 million, and they're still not done with it. And they got to name their own salaries. How would you like to have a job where you name your own salary?
That'd be pretty good.
Needless to say, of the 200 employees or so, they all make six figures or more.
Well, I mean, if you're going to name your salary, you might as well name six figures.
If you're going to be one, be a big one. What I always say.
Some other people, Cambria Kilgannon, she actually was...
You should have given me that name. I could have butchered that one good.
You would have, I think so. Anyway, she was contacted actually by somebody on Facebook, and she posted a screenshot of it. They said they were from Bank of America, and she sent them a message back with some choice words, and which I won't repeat here. But anyway, she sent them a message
because
back.
Because we are a fine, upstanding establishment and exactly. would not use such language.
And strangely enough, that fictitious Bank of America page disappeared soon after she sent that message.
Well, you know, it's amazing that when I look through, when we're getting ready for this topic, you look through at the different places they list, and they're all legitimate places that they have these scams that originate from. And I don't mean they originate from them. They're using these as fronts.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're all your classic names, although they said 74% of them right now are usually using a Citibank name and logo with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of the email scams that are coming out. So Citibank is a popular one. But there's, you know, all the regular ones that you'd hear, Amazon. There's evidently one with American Airlines where they have you click for a ticket. It says to click for your ticket, and it evidently clicks you to a bad place.
Yeah.
Where they take your information.
Well, those websites, they spoof. They might have, like, you know, instead of Facebook, if you type Facebook, B-O-O-G or something, Facebook.
Facebook? Well, it did say when...
But you know, it looks like Facebook, and it prompts you to put in your information. They're basically just trying to steal your information.
Well, let's break this down. Okay, there's lots of different ways that you get scammed.
Yes.
One is a telephone.
Yes.
One is emails.
Yes.
One is mailing.
Yes.
They mail them to you. And there's also text.
Yep. Don't forget the Kansas City Shuffle.
That's Shuffle Off to Buffalo.
Well, the Kansas City Shuffle is something different.
And as you see, I was right about that. You see, they actually posted the song for us from like 1933 or whatever.
You were. How you knew that song, I have no idea.
I don't know. It was somewhere in the foggy cobwebs of my youth, but I don't know why I know that.
Yeah, I think the Kansas City Shuffle is from Lucky Number 11, that movie.
Lucky Number 11?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that movie.
Yeah, it was like Josh Hartnett, Bruce Willis. It's a really good movie. Check it out.
I guess so. I don't remember it.
I think they employed the old Kansas City Shuffle scam. So I don't remember what it was. I just remember the name.
Well, that might be related to Christian Okoye.
Yeah.
He was the Nigerian Nightmare.
And he played for Kansas City.
Yeah. And so all these scams come out of Nigeria. So maybe it's all related.
It could be.
That's your Nigerian Nightmare. None of that even made sense.
It's all right. It all linked together.
That was some faulty logic.
One lady came into my office one time. This is in my practice in Florida, and she had been being courted by some man who lived out of the country, and all he needed was for her to send him money for a plane ticket to fly him over. And she was telling me all about him, and I read through all the stuff, and she was asked. I think she in the back of her mind she knew it was kind of a scam, but she didn't want to really admit it. And so I was like, "Yeah, this is a scam." She left there saying, "Well, I don't know." And I, you know, I was like, "Yeah, this is a scam. You do not send that man money."
Well, a lot of scams prey on the hapless. They prey on the elderly, they prey on widows, they prey on people they think will be easy victims, because in a lot of times it's like you say, they know deep down inside that this isn't, but they have hope that it might be something better. And that's what really besides the money, it's the crushing of that hope or the crushing of the person's spirit when they're already just barely hanging on.
Yeah.
That's what's really bad.
Yeah, it makes me not like human beings too much.
Well, human beings are okay. It's just certain ones.
I know. It's just kind of...
But, all right, well, let's go with ones like, let's say, telephone ones.
Okay.
Let's start with those. What are the most common ones of those?
The common telephone ones?
Yeah.
I think those are probably the ones where people are calling you and they're doing... I think it's called social engineering, where they're trying to basically not give you any information, but extract information from you. So they have very kind of choice certain words that they're using to talk to you to get you to try to give them information. And then they take that information you just gave them and build on that and then get you to give more information because they're building like a bond with you by that information you actually gave them.
And typically a lot of those are like ones that will call you up and say they're from the bank fraud department.
Right.
And there's been activity on your account that looks unusual.
Yeah.
And to verify this, we need you to give us your social security number and your checking account number.
Exactly.
Stuff like that. So the call, if they're calling from the bank, they should know that.
Exactly.
So, you know, they shouldn't call you and do that.
If you get a call that says, "Hello, this is Jake Peterson. I'm from the bank credit fraud division. Please give me your social security number."
Yeah. Yeah. But that's exactly what they do. Or they say, "We're going to have to lock down your card unless you can provide this information to us."
Right. They want to give you a threat or some sort of impetus to make you want to do that.
Right. And so what should we do if something like that happens?
Well, number one, you should never give out information like that over the phone.
Because banks will not call you and ask you for that.
They never will. No.
Nope.
And I mean, even if you're certain it is your bank, you don't want to give them information like that over the phone. I mean, never. They don't ever do that.
Well, and you can't be sure when they call you. You can be sure if you call them.
Yeah, for the most part. But I mean, if you get an email that says, you know, call this number, they could have all kinds of things.
Like, yeah, you don't know.
You got to make sure the number you're calling. Even I get paranoid about it. Even if I know the number, I still don't like to give out information like that.
Right. But I mean, if you go to, you know, you go to Google and you pull up your bank's phone number
right.
and you call it, you can be pretty sure you're talking to your bank.
Pretty sure.
They didn't infect Google.
You never know, though.
Google's powerful.
They are powerful.
So they're not going to let some scammer come in there and manipulate those numbers. And you're going and seeking the information. Then you call them back and do it. The other thing is, if they're talking about, let's say, your debit card or something like that, there's a number on the back and there's a website on the back.
Yes.
And you can use those. And those are going to be all right.
Right. Those are going to be all right. Unless they're information themselves gets hijacked, which that can happen too, but there's nothing you can do about that. If that happens, you're just SOL.
Yeah, well, Google's powerful, but of course Yahoo got hacked, but that was their mail.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like Yahoo mail.
But that wasn't a scam. That was a hack. That's different.
That's true. Different thing.
Scamming and hacking.
But sometimes the hacking component is using that social engineering that I was talking about. Hackers use that to hack into different kinds of systems. It's not just on the computer. They hack in by calling into different places like that and trying to get information as well. It's kind of a technique. I think it is called social engineering.
Well, one of the other things that you can have in a telephone scam, I have personal firsthand knowledge of this one. People will call you up and represent themselves as being from Microsoft. I am calling from Microsoft and I'm calling about the problem you're having with your computer and I can take care of that for you.
I was in your office that day when that happened.
And I'm like, problem with my computer? Yes. Well, what is my problem with my computer? Well, you know, the problem you've been having. Well, which computer is it? Well, your computer. Well, I own a small business and we have about 18 computers in here. Which computer are you speaking of? Click, buzz. There it went. So the guy was trying to scam me in to either giving him remote access to my computer so he could look around in there, or getting me to click through to something that would give them the information they needed. So
I've seen these viruses too that say some will pop up and say, "Your computer's been infected. Call this number immediately to have it removed."
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
And you click on it and you're going to launch some kind of malware.
Yeah.
So here's the really bad thing about life today. Life in 2016 and the 2000s. You got to be suspicious of everything.
Yes, that's
if
true.
If you don't initiate it, don't fall for it.
Got to keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, I mean, if it's too good to be true, it is. You know, the saying used to be, it probably is. No, it is. And when it comes to computers, Microsoft is not going to seek you out and call you up and say, "Can I fix your computer for you?" I mean, they got better things to do. They're out grabbing money. They're trying to make more money. They're not going to come offer you any kind of service.
One scam that I've seen a lot of, but I've read a lot about, is the old Craigslist apartment scam, where they'll list apartments that are going to be for rent, and they'll be in like the most desirable locations, at the best prices. And they'll actually put pictures, they'll steal pictures of real apartments and give real addresses. And what they'll do is they're trying to find people who are moving somewhere from out of state and don't really have access to go see these places firsthand. And they'll say, yeah, here's the apartment, here's pictures, blah, blah, blah. Send me a, you know, send me a check or wire. The best thing they'll say is, yeah, send me a Western Union wire transfer and we'll hold the apartment for you. You know, then of course they want Western Union because things like that are not traceable and it's not a, you know, not a check or anything like that. But that apartment, they're not have the power to rent it out. They're just basically using somebody else's picture, somebody else's apartment, just trying to lure you in to get money.
So what should we do to avoid that, Counselor Mike?
Never send money Western Union, number one. That's kind of
when they ask for that, that's you know
red,
there's something up.
Red flag.
Or if they ask you to send it with Target gift cards or Walmart gift cards or something like that.
Right.
Which is a common practice of a lot of these scammers.
Yeah. Or if they say, hey, we'll send you a check and then you send me the difference.
Yeah.
Horrible stuff.
Well, and you know, it's like you say on Craigslist. That's one of the other things is somebody says they're going to buy something from you on Craigslist. They send you a check for, say, twice what the item cost. And he says, I'm sorry, I just had to write the check for that amount. Will you send me back the difference? Well, I guarantee you that check is no good, and the difference you're sending him is money that they're scamming from you.
Yeah.
But
well, these frauds, I mean...
What would you do about the real estate one, though, to make sure that you don't fall into that trap? Because people obviously have to perform those kind of transactions, so what do you do to prevent it?
That's a tough one, especially like... If you're looking at apartments in someplace out of state or, you know, you can't go look at it themselves, I think you just got to go with an actual real estate agent.
That's exactly what Phil would advise you.
Phil?
Phil.
Phil who?
Phil who? Phil on Modern Family. He is a realtor, and he will take care of you. A realtor is a very important position. I love that guy. He's hilarious.
He is.
And he is a staunch realtor, and he will take care of you. And that's what you do. You call up somebody like him, a respected realtor in the area. They're easy to find.
Yeah.
You can Google them and find the respectable ones.
Absolutely.
Now, they should be listed with the Better Business Bureau.
Now, I think if you are in the city yourself, maybe trying to find an apartment on Craigslist is probably fine because you can actually go see
it. You can check it out.
Yeah. But if you are, you know, moving somewhere for work and you just need a place to live, no.
Now, if the guy can't get you in... Like you go to see the apartment, the guy meets you on the corner across the street, and he says, yeah, there it is, right over there.
Here's some pictures of it.
Yeah, here's what it looks like on the inside. Well, can I go see it? No, not right now. Why not? The door's locked.
By the way, you want to buy a watch? Got some Rolexes right here.
You want some swampland in Florida?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is and this is the one note I made when I was researching this. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
It is. Leave the probably out. It is. Another telephone one. They call you up and say, well, you have an arrest warrant out for you. If you can give me $150, you know, either give me your bank card number over the phone or wire it to me, then we can hold off. We can get this straightened out.
Yeah.
And they scam money from that way. Another thing is jury duty. They'll call you up and say, we're going over for jury duty and we need your Social Security number and some other information about you. And guess what? There's no jury duty involved. They will never call you and ask you for that information if they're considering you for jury duty. They don't consider you. They just pick your name. You're it.
Yeah, and you get something in the mail that says, show up.
Yeah. Yeah. You get, most of the time, anything that's legitimate is going to come in the mail. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that comes in the mail is legitimate. You still got to be wary of it. But they're not going to call you on the phone for those things.
One thing that was always interesting in Florida is every year, when you have your own business in Florida, when you have any business anywhere, you have to file your articles of incorporation. You have to file your annual update every year with the Secretary of State saying that you're still in business and paying a fee. And this one company, they would send it out, to almost every business in Florida, and they would try to make it look as official as possible and make it look like it was some sort of government-issued document. Their office was even in Tallahassee, and they would say, send us $300 to file your annual report. Well, the annual report was only like $125. So basically what they were trying to do is they tried to bilk $180 off. And every year on the Department of Corporations webpage, it would say, beware of such and such thing. But really, I mean, they're walking that line of not doing anything illegal because they're just kind of...
Oh, if they're representing themselves as that, that's illegal.
Well, no, they're not. They're not representing themselves as a government agency. They just make it look official, and they send their mail from Tallahassee, and they say, we'll file you. If you read the fine print, it says, we will file your annual report for you.
It's purposely deceitful.
Exactly. Purposely deceitful.
And that should be grounds for a lawsuit.
Got to keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
A sucker and his money are born every day, P.T. Barnum said, I believe, right?
He said there's one born every minute.
Something. Every day, too. If there's one born every minute, there's one born every day.
Well, that means there's, I don't know how many, 60 times 24, whatever that is.
Oh, that's math.
That's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of suckers out there.
Yeah, more than I can add. Some of them are all day suckers.
That's multiplication. Well, most of the fraud that you encounter is usually a civil matter. It's it actually is not going to be a criminal type thing. Now, there can be certain cases of criminal, but for the most part,
Wait a minute. You mean people that are perpetrating these frauds can't be put in jail?
Well, they can be if they do certain things, but generally, what happens when somebody defrauds you or you know takes your money, it's considered a tort, and that is
something I would have, if they're not going to put him in jail, then I want 15 minutes alone in a room with them. I'm going to beat hell out of them.
And whenever you sue somebody for fraud civilly, you have to plead that fraud with specificity. I mean, you actually have to say, here's how Tommy defrauded me and plead it out exactly. You can't just say, Tommy defrauded me.
Well, Tommy would never defraud you.
I don't know.
Tommy's an upright guy.
Tommy told me that ramp was safe.
It was. You put on the brakes.
What would happen if I'd hit it full speed? I don't even know.
You'd have gone right over it and been fine. You'd have been a hero.
Maybe.
You would have been celebrated throughout the neighborhood as the kid that flew over the ramp and landed with the greatest of ease.
I would have been more than just a T-ball hero with diamonds in my eyes.
I was going to make you a superstar.
This was another song that Tommy did when I was younger. You remember that one?
He's a T-ball hero. He's got, what is it?
I think it was diamonds.
Diamonds in his eyes?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
What's a baseball diamond?
Oh, well, okay. Well, what were the real words?
I don't even know what song you're talking about.
Hero. Jukebox Hero.
No.
You don't remember Jukebox Hero?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the real song.
That you're telling me that T-Ball Hero song was a takeoff of Jukebox Hero?
Yeah, I was like a Weird Al Yankovic ahead of my time there.
I had no idea this whole time that song was supposed to be sung to that.
Yeah. As Jukebox Hero, I made it T-Ball Hero. So you thought I wrote an original song for you, but I just ripped one off. Is that fair use?
My life is ruined. My childhood was a fraud. Yeah, I have all these fun songs that Tommy used to sing about me to get me to do silly things like jump off ramps and stuff. And
hey, it worked.
It did.
That's me. I do whatever it takes.
But the criminal things, those are like maybe like considered more like theft by false pretenses. And probably if you're going to be criminally charged for these, you're generally going to be defrauding like a bank, an insurance company, or forgery, or things like that. It seems to be that the laws are geared more towards large institutions. If you as a private individual are ripped off by somebody, you're probably not going to have much help with criminally charging them.
Well, you know, and that a prime example of that is what's happening with Wells Fargo. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous that they perpetrated the fraud that they did by pressuring their people to do this. And you can say that the ones at the top didn't know, but they just turned their heads and they didn't mind getting the stock bonuses and everything else they were getting while their numbers were getting real big. And then they fire like 2,300 low-level employees. So there you go. We fixed the problem there. We got rid of those people that did that. Yeah, well, what about the guy at the top that was reaping all the benefits? They had their vice president of operations or whatever that left there with like $119 million. Now you got the guy that was in charge of all of it. He's resigning and taking his $137 million with him. Boy, that really hurt. But you know where they should be? They should be in jail.
Yeah,
they shouldn't be walking away from that. You know what really grinds my gears?
That
grinds my gears. That's not right. That guy shouldn't get a penny. I don't care what his contract says. He perpetrated a fraud, and he did it on a massive levels, and he's just going to walk away with it.
Yeah, it seems to be there's two sets of rules. There's rules for people like that, and then rules for the rest of us.
Rules for the rest of us, poor schmucks.
Well, there's one poor schmuck that got one over on the big guys.
Who's that?
And he's one of my favorite stories. And I learned about him in law school when I was taking this class called UCC, which stands for Uniform Commercial Code.
Yeah.
And it was used to illustrate negotiable instruments. And a negotiable instrument is basically a piece of paper or something like that with an unconditional promise to pay a fixed amount of money. So a check is a prime example of a negotiable instrument because you can, you can negotiate that with people. This guy's name was Patrick Combs, and this was back in the 90s, and he was living in San Francisco. He didn't have a lot of money to his name, but he did get an advertisement that came along with a fake check for $95,093, and it had an authorizing signature on there and everything. It did have something at the bottom that said, this is non-negotiable, basically. Right. Which,
I've seen those before.
Yeah. Well, being kind of a broke guy living in San Francisco at the time, not having much else to do, he thought it'd be fun to take it to his bank and deposit it. And he thought he might get a chuckle. As he said, he thought he might get a chuckle from the teller or whatever.
I don't believe that.
So
go ahead.
He went down there, deposited in his bank account. 10 days later, he had 95 grand in his bank account.
That's a pretty good fake check.
Yeah. So the bank had not caught on to it. So he took that money and had them put that 95 grand into a cashier's check, which the bank could not take back because once they put in a cashier's check, it's essentially out of their hands. They can't stop it. It's not like a regular check. And he put in a safe deposit box. Well, about that time, the bank kind of caught on and started getting after him saying, hey, you should not have 95 grand in your bank account. You should.
Could we have that 95 grand back, please?
Yeah. They went back and forth. And eventually he did what I guess might be considered the right thing. Unfortunately to us is he gave it back to the bank, and the bank said,
if it was Wells Fargo, I wouldn't.
Yeah. I forget which bank it was. I didn't look at it. But anyway, so he gave it back and they didn't give him a reward. You know, the press didn't laud him as a hero or whatever, things like that.
Probably said he was an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, he should have kept it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he should have. Anyway, it was kind of interesting because that was
used. What would you say from a legal standpoint if a guy came to you with that case and he said, look, here's what I did. They gave me the money. I put it in the safety deposit box and it's sitting there. Now they want me to give it back. What do you think I should do? What's their legal recourse?
That'd be interesting because essentially, I guess it would come down to the fact that if he knew it was a fake check, then he might have a bit of an issue on his hand. But the problem is that for all purposes, the bank made a mistake. But if that check, if I write something that is supposed to look like a fake check to get you to induce you to do something, and I make it look too much like a check, and then you take it, and then they draw it out of my bank account, well, then shame on me for trying to do that. You're an idiot for making something that looks like a fake check.
But I will say this, because I worked in a bank for a while, is that they tell you that the deposit, that they may give you a receipt for an amount, but until that deposit is verified, they have the right to go back and correct it.
Right.
So they may have accepted that and put the $95,000 in, but once the check came back and didn't work, they've got the right to take it back out of your account.
Right.
And if you remove the money, then you might be guilty of fraud.
Well, I know if I get a check or something like that and I put it in my bank account, say it's like a check for $2,000 or something like that, and I deposit my account, the funds that are available immediately is usually like, you know, $400 or $500 from that. And they hold on. They don't give you the full amount right away. They have to wait until it's verified. And that may be something that...
Our bank just gives you $100.
Really?
Yeah, you deposit your paycheck and you got $100 added on, but it's not till the next day that you get the full amount.
Hmm. I wouldn't like that.
That's the way it is, Bubba.
We'll talk about which bank that is later.
Okay. Because I like them. They do a good job. But
yeah.
You know.
I don't really like my bank so much.
Really? You should try my bank.
Maybe I will.
All right. You only get $100 for your paycheck, but...
that's what I hear.
That's the word around town.
But negotiable instruments, the main thing is... the main example of those are checks. And basically, it's just a piece of paper that can be negotiated between parties. So if you've ever seen or, you know, when people endorse checks, like say I write a check to you, to Thomas Smurl for $100 for, I don't know, what am I going to buy from you, Tommy?
I don't know.
You got to work with me here.
You're going to buy my Tom Servo.
I'm going to buy your Tom Servo for $100.
Jim Hansen got me that Tom Servo. I would not part with it for $100. It would have to be a lot more than that. It's worth more than that.
It's pretty awesome.
He did a great job. I mean, the guy is a master craftsman. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. I thought it was a gift to both of us, though.
Well, I'll share it with you.
Thanks.
I was there. You weren't there.
That's true.
You were off on your own trip. I was there serving the people.
You were.
I was talking to the fans.
Yes, you were.
So I got it. And we're going to post a picture The Still Buffering podcast page with us there with some of the other podcasters. We didn't have a picture to put in with the other ones. I hope you know how to do that. I don't know how to do that.
Post a picture on Facebook?
Yeah.
I think I can figure that one out.
Okay, I don't know how to do that.
Maybe I'll show you later. When we talk about banks, I'll show you later how to post a picture on Facebook.
Okay, good. I can't.
So I'm gonna give you $100 for this Tom Servo, which I'm not gonna do because I think half of it's mine. At least I'm gonna play that.
Anyway. You wanted an example. I'm just giving you an example. I'm not negotiating. It's going back to my house when we're done.
I'm gonna give you $50 for your half of the Tom Servo. I'm not going to give you $100 for it. $50 for my half of the Tom Servo, so I can have all the Tom Servo for myself.
All right.
This is the only example, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
But then I write you that check. I take the Tom Servo back to my house where I keep it, and he sleeps with me in my bed.
That's just weird. That's not what Tom Servo was made for.
And then
he's going to comment on all of it. You know he's going to tell me about it the next day.
And then you owe Mary $50. So you endorse the check, you sign your name on the back of the check, and you write Thomas B. Smurl. So anybody know what the B stands for? We'll release that as some bonus content later.
That's what it stands for.
So you write Thomas B. Smurl on the check, and then you give it to Mary, and Mary writes, does she go by R?
R.
Mary R. Smurl. I didn't know if I know that that's her middle name, but I didn't know if that's what she still went by. So she writes Mary R. Smurl on there.
Do you think she made up a star initial or something?
I don't know. Anyway, so she writes that on there.
Mary Miley.
She endorses
Mary
it.
Mary Taylor.
She endorses it. So that's called an endorsement. And the reason you can do that is because it's a negotiable instrument, which you can transfer to somebody else, and it's got a promise to pay.
All right.
That's a third-party check at that point, and Mary should be able to take that check to her bank and deposit it. Right. But a lot of times in this day and age, that doesn't fly anymore.
They don't like third-party checks.
No, they don't like that anymore. But technically, as far as meeting all the requirements.
And you know why they don't like third-party checks?
That's easy to forge.
And because of scams.
Yeah.
There are lots of scams.
There are. But in the days of yore, that would definitely be an easy way to do that kind of thing.
Now, there are two particular kinds of scams that I wanted to bring up. One, because I know a whole lot of people that would be subject to it. And the other, because it kind of pertains to you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll lay it on me.
I got to help warn you of these dangers.
I always want to be warned of dangers.
Yeah.
Peligro.
The one I thought of that I thought pertained to you, with you being, recently single, there's scams on online dating sites.
Really?
Yes. So you must be aware of online dating sites.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. What are you on that? Matchstick.
Matchstick. I'm just waiting for the Tinder to go off.
Well, that's what it is. That's match.com. Crossed with Tinder. Matchstick.
Is that really what it's called?
Yeah.
There's one called that?
That's what I'm calling it.
Yeah, cover all your bases.
No. But the online dating services are a scam. I don't mean all of them are a scam, but that's a source where you get people. Once again, it's those people that are, vulnerable.
Right.
They're looking for somebody, so they're operating with a lot of hope, and these things come along. Now, there's lots of ways these scams are perpetrated.
They're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many faces.
Second verse, same, different from the first.
Yeah, I can't remember all of it. That's about as far as I go.
That's all I got too.
Third rate romance, low rent rendezvous.
Sammy Kershaw.
That was a good song. That's not Sammy Kershaw. Oh,
who is that?
That was way before Sammy Kershaw. Both of them.
Did Sammy Kershaw do that?
No, I don't know. He might have. I don't listen to country music.
I don't really either, but
I couldn't.
Who sang that first song? Do you know? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for
not Charlie Pride. I don't know. I should know that. Somebody will tell us what our mistake was.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's always plenty of people waiting to help make up my mistake.
Yeah, if we have a mistake, they'll tell us about it. It was Cher who did it.
It was not Cher.
No, we'll just go with Cher. Somebody'll correct us.
I don't want to be that far wrong. Not Cher. It's at least got to be a country guy. I wanted to say it was the one that was visually challenged. I don't know. Say that correctly. There was a country singer that was blind, and I can't remember his name right now. I wanted to say it was him, but I can't remember for sure.
I don't know.
See, there's another thing for somebody to fix for me, whoever that person is that I'm talking about that I don't know.
We love our fans. They help us out tremendously.
Because I'm an idiot.
Well, it's hard to just shoot from the hip in here.
Shoot from the hip, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we're shooting from the lip.
That's right.
All right. The online dating scams. Here's one of the simple ways that they work. They don't exist. For example, you might be able to tell by the name what they're trying to draw. Would you ever sign up on a dating site that is called, where did it go?
This is going to be good. I can't wait.
Would you ever go to a website for dating that's called hornymatches.com?
Yes.
Well, you'd be disappointed.
I would.
97% of the females that were listed on there were found to be not real.
They were Tom Servos?
They were pictures taken from not just other dating websites, but just from Facebook or LinkedIn or any other public site that had it, and they were posting pictures up there of them. They had robots that were operating that basically, when you tried to chat with somebody, you'd get back one line answers back from it, but it was all robots just responding back.
Just enough to keep you nibbling.
Yeah, their gig was you sign up, and maybe it's $75 to sign up, and then it's another $35 a month or something like that. So all they were trying to get you to do was sign up and hang around as long as you know you could until you finally either figured out, hey, this isn't real, or you weren't getting anywhere with the ladies, and so you gave up. So their gig was just getting you to sign up and keep paying some money there. And then if you put a credit card on file, there's no telling what kind of charges they might put against it once they got it.
Yeah. And depending on how much they really want to stick it to you, they might try to sue you if you break the contract for
Well, that's true. Here's the thing is that you would say, okay, I want to end it. Well, you might try, but it would take a while, several months, before they would just cut it off. The only way you could end it was to cancel that credit card.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and by the way, before I forget this, because I don't think I put this in my notes. If you do get scammed like this, cancel your credit card. Just cancel it.
If it's something like that,
yeah,
where you're signed up to an online thing and you can't get the satisfaction of getting them to stop charging you, cut it off.
Yeah.
It may be inconvenient, but it's a lot better than fighting with them.
And it's easier to give somebody money from a negotiation standpoint. It's easier to negotiate giving them money than it is to try to negotiate getting money back, because you're not going to get money back. Just right now, I'll tell you that right now.
Now, here's another way that these scammers work on the dating sites. They hook you in. They have actual people that are there, and they're working you.
Uh-huh.
And everything's fine and hunky-dory, and then come to find out they have some terrible thing happened to them.
Oh, no.
They've been arrested. They're in a car wreck. Their mother is sick, something like that, and they need money so bad, but they wouldn't dare ask you for it.
No.
But out of the goodness of your heart, because you've started to fall in love with this person.
What can I do to help? Just tell me, Tom.
What can I do to help? How much do you want? I have the money. I'll send it to you. And so they start with you like that. And they will keep working you more sad stories and keep working you to send them money until you finally get fed up with it and figure out. And they say some of the ways that you can know that they are, how to recognize an online dating scam artist. They want to leave the dating site immediately and use personal email or PM.
Yeah.
Something like that, as opposed to staying on there. Almost immediately, they fall in love with you. You're their soulmate. You're the love of their life, and they're so glad they finally met you yesterday on the internet, and they've never seen you. They always claim to be from somewhere but traveling for some reason. That seems to be a common recurrence of the scammers.
Maybe so they can limit their contact
communications or something like that. Yeah, because they've got a lot of them going on. Because they're not just playing you. They're playing other people at the same time. They plan to visit, but the visit's prevented by some traumatic event or a business deal gone sour. They like to say they're out of the country for business or military service. And when they ask for money, they always ask for like MoneyGrams, things like that.
Like Western Union, things that are not traceable.
Exactly.
You can't get back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Those are the kind of things. Now, here was one other one I thought was interesting. They had a few that they published about ones that people said that they got involved in. And this one, the girl's name, and apparently she had used this with quite a few because it was common among several people that they contacted. So if you ever fall in love anonymously on the internet with a Becky Thomas, be careful.
What are you talking about? I've been emailing her.
What? She's a scam. She's not real.
No. Not Becky.
It said
she's got a sick grandma. I was just sending her money to help. pay for medication.
Well, this one said that she also, in addition to Becky Thomas, she had her grandmother involved with it.
Not Grammy.
An old lady saying she was a grandmother. She's in Nigeria, and Becky is supposed to be in the UK there. Using the immigration to do this, she gets a boyfriend and then says that she's going to come meet him, and then something comes up and she can't, and then she says, I'm stuck in immigrations. And immigrations won't let me through unless I can give them $600. If you could get me through immigrations, I could come see you, and we could consummate the love you know we have.
Consummate?
Yes. Now she's up the stakes.
Consummation.
Grandma calls you crying and says, please, can you help Becky Thomas? She's stuck in immigrations. And then when you call Becky Thomas back, she even puts the immigration guy on the phone and says, yes, give me $600 and I will let her go.
Grandma says,
I don't know what accent that was. I'm not sure where we're being held. That was a generic just accent.
I can't place that.
The only accent I have is an English accent. I don't have any other accent to use.
So the Grammy says, please help her get her out of immigration. She wants to consummate the love that you've...
Yeah. Please, for the love of God. She's virginal and she wants you.
But you know, that sounds...
Where's $600?
That sounds like so intricate. And these people, you know, they got to be somewhat smart if they only put their talent to good.
Well, that's one of the things that I said when we were discussing this on Facebook, is I said, if these people would get an actual job, they probably wouldn't have to work as hard as they do at these scams.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of jobs that pay you for not doing very much. Of course, you probably don't get this kind of money either. I don't know how many times does she score the $600. You know, is she scoring that several times daily? Then it might be a pretty good job. If you're getting it once a month, I think you could do better working at McDonald's.
Have you seen the movie Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
Yes.
I love that movie.
That is a great movie.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do the show. There's a stage show of it.
Is there really?
Yeah. And I've always wanted to do that. But
I will tell you what, I have never. Well, I mean, I was in a play when I was younger, like in elementary school and things like that. Mm-hmm. If you and Mary ever decide to produce Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, I will come out for that play.
You'll come out for it.
Yes. I don't know what part I could get. I mean, hopefully I could be Ruprecht, because I really just want to run around sticking a fork with a cork on it in my eye going, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. But
Well, there's the Steve Martin character and there's the, Michael Caine character. Yes. Yeah. Those are the two main ones.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't be ready to do one of the main characters. I just want to run around like Steve Martin, but...
I've been studying for the role my whole life.
Tommy, do you mind to excuse me while I use the restroom?
Well, I guess not. Is that a scam?
Thank you.
You didn't leave the room.
It's from the movie Dirty Rotten Scoundrels when Steve Martin pees at the table.
Oh, I don't remember that. I haven't seen that movie for a long time. I saw it when it came out in the movie theater.
Oh, I've seen it. I had it on. I had it on VHS tape.
Yeah.
Have it on DVD. I have it on Blu-ray, and I believe I bought it on iTunes.
Well, I didn't. I saw it when it actually was at the movie theater, and that's been maybe 20 years.
Yeah,
I don't know what year it came out, but it has to have been pretty old. Like I say, they wrote the play after that.
Yeah,
they have the play.
Great movie.
They both got what they deserved in the end.
Well, kind of, but then. They got out scammed by the jackal, but then she came back because she had so much fun. She said, I made millions of dollars over the world, but the most fun I had was with you guys. So I came here to scam these people off this cruise ship.
It would be interesting. Now, all right, we've covered you and solved your problems as far as online dating, so you don't get scammed.
Yeah, thanks.
Don't take any calls from Becky Thomas.
Yeah, I don't think I needed that, but thank you.
All right, I just wanted to make sure. I know how you are when you're on Tinder or Grindr or whatever it is that you get on. So I'm going to watch out for you. Now, there's a lot of our listeners that we communicate with on Facebook.
This is true.
Facebook is a new form of scamming that's going on. I mean, I say new. Facebook isn't that old in the overall scheme of things.
Pretty new to you.
It's new to me. I don't even know how to put a picture up on Facebook. I think we've discussed that earlier.
We did.
I'm not sure what I'm doing on Facebook. I don't know who's seeing what, so I just have to treat everything like the world sees it, because I don't know.
Have you poked anybody on Facebook yet?
No. How would you poke them?
Oh, I don't know if you can poke anymore. It used to be this thing where you'd poke somebody on Facebook.
If there's a poke button, I haven't seen a poke button.
I don't know if it's there anymore.
And I'm not sure if that's proper to do. I don't know.
I think there were actually super pokes at some point, too.
Super pokes?
Yeah.
It's like Pokemans, super Pokemans. All right. So the Facebook ones, there's Facebook scams out there. And those are growing bigger and bigger. First of all, the first one isn't even a scam. It's just a basic warning. Don't tell people like Kim Kardashian where you're at, what your routine is, how much jewelry you have with you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They can come hold you at gunpoint and rob you. The Facebook Live, it's a great thing for a lot of things. It's not so great for other things. That's how she set herself up for that, showing all the stuff she had and where she was and when. Oh, her security guards had left for the night. Bingo. Here we go. Operation on. So you got to be, you know, and for some of us people who don't have $10 million in jewelry, but we do have a house that has some stuff in it. Some of it might be worth taking. I don't know. But you don't want to advertise, I'm going to be gone on vacation from the dates of this to this.
Exactly.
Because then people know your house is sitting empty.
Yeah. Save those pictures to when you get back. Make an album. Albums are great. People love albums.
Yeah. Don't post all the pictures from the beach and say, we'll be back in a month.
Yeah. See you later, suckers.
Yeah. We're having fun here at the beach while our house is sitting vacant.
Just all by itself with only Kevin left there by himself.
Who's Kevin?
He's home alone.
Oh. Well, they don't even know he's there, though.
That's true.
They wouldn't send out that message.
Yeah. That's probably true. Maybe at some point.
Maybe. But anyway. So don't announce when you're going to be gone. That's not a scam. That's just you'll get robbed.
Common sense.
Yeah. All right. Now, a lot of them, you have to check out to see whether the person's real or not. Have you ever gotten friend requests with just a blank profile?
I got one just a minute ago from Becky Thomas.
Not again. I told you about her. But when you get one like that, you need to go to their site and look. And if they have no other friends and they have no history, don't accept their friend.
Well, also, if you don't have any friends in common, that's kind of a
thing. Look for friends in common. Look for their history on their timeline and stuff. And if they have very little posted and they don't have any pictures, most likely they're not real.
I've gotten a few of those.
Yep. I've seen a few. And I'm not ever sure what to think. They also said that the majority of them are women. I mean, not that they're women doing them, that they're posing as women.
Yeah.
That's what you find with a lot of these, that they're posing as women.
Most of the ones I've seen, well, all the ones I've seen have been women.
And they're usually hot women. That's the way they like to, if they post a picture with it, you know, they're going to get your attention more that way.
Yes. Attractive females.
Right. So they put that down there.
Want to be your friend.
That's right.
Just out of the blue.
And you should know right away, Michael, if an attractive female wants to be your friend, it's a scam.
It's true. If I've come to learn one thing in my 40 years of life.
But they say that a lot of them are catfishers.
I meant to mention this earlier when we were talking about it. Have you seen that show Catfish on MTV?
I haven't seen it. I've heard of it.
It is.
And I heard the whole thing on Sister Wives where, what's her name, Mary got catfished.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I watched that show. I don't remember that episode.
You don't remember that? That was the main storyline last season.
Was it?
She got catfished by a woman who said she was a man and was in love with her, and she was going to leave, what's his name, the mutual husband, and go run away with this guy, then found out it was a woman.
See, that's what happens when you like speed through these things and watch them. You don't remember the content.
You're just supposed to skip the commercials, not the actual show.
Well, I didn't skip the actual show, but when you watch like four or five episodes in a row, you just kind of like...
Yeah, well, I actually read about it before I ever saw it on the TV show. Yeah. I read that was going on. But I try to keep up on all that stuff. You don't know how many stories I've read about predicting who's dead on The Walking Dead. Who got Negan's bat?
Who got what?
Negan's bat.
Who's Negan? I'm two seasons behind.
What?
Spoilers. Just don't even go there. Come on.
Okay. I'm not telling you who got it.
I don't even know who Negan is.
I don't know who got it.
I don't know if Negan has a bat.
Negan has a bat.
I don't even know what a bat is.
A bat? It's a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire.
What, baseball? Barbed wire? Come on, spoilers.
Barbed wire. She played shortstop. another
was
thing.
Was that Pamela Anderson?
Yeah, that's right. From the movie Barbed Wire. Another thing on Facebook you have to watch for is stalkers. If you let the wrong people in, and some of these fake people, they'll stalk you. Exes seeking revenge in your current relationship. I wasn't pointing at you, Michael. I didn't say that. In your current relationship. Now, to me, this was, I don't know, I didn't like this. Your wife poses as, sets up a, or husband, whichever, sets up a fake account and then tries to have an intimate conversation with you as a person of the opposite sex, just to see if you're willing to participate. Private investigators that may be investigating you for whatever reason, maybe because you owe money. I don't know. But that ties it into last episode.
So. That's true.
Maybe they're trying to investigate you. They said, how do you recognize a fake Facebook account? Do you know the person who's requesting to be friends? Do you have any friends in common with him? Does a friend request come from an attractive person of the opposite gender? So that's supposed to be a key. Does the request come from a person with a very short Facebook history? Does the requester have an unusually small number of friends? Does the requester have an unusually large number of friends? So we're on both ends of the spectrum.
Just about everything.
Are your friends mostly global or local? The more global their friendship list, with very few friends that are local, it's more likely it's a fake account. Are the requester's friends all the same sex? In other words, if all the friends are men,
a little weird.
Looks suspicious, that's right. Is there very little personal content on their timeline? And Facebook has a site that set up that you can send to if you suspect you have a fake person like that. You can send that into them and they will check it out.
Yeah, you just report it. And the thing with Facebook too is there's a lot of ways you can really lock down your profile, and that's very important to do. You want to keep your information hidden. You know, the whole thing about who can see your stuff if they're not your friends, I don't even like having your birthday and things like up there, because people could actually take your birthday off your Facebook page and use that to do all kinds of nefarious type things. So I would suggest like keeping all that kind of information down to a minimum. So
absolutely. One other place that you may be interested in subscribing to, there is a group that's called scambusters.org, and they keep you up to date with some of the latest scams that are going around, list them by location, things like that, that you can go to. This one I thought was particularly interesting. You get a call that hangs up and you try to call it back. And when you call it back, it's calling a number that will put you on a paid number.
Oh, so they register your number. So they'll sell your number to other people.
Right. So it'll put you on a, and it also, when you call it back, it's like you're paying $20 a minute.
Oh God.
On this number that you call back on. There's other ones that give you a number or they text you and say, call this number. You have a relative in the hospital. And the first two numbers are *72 and then the number. Well, what happens is that forwards your phone. Then they give out your phone number to everybody else, maybe internationally, and they start making phone calls to your number where you don't ever know it because it's being forwarded to this other person.
Yeah, there's all kinds of weird stuff that can go on these days with like spoofing your numbers and things like that. Kind of scary times, technologically speaking.
Well, and there's just a lot of them out there. And you, if you didn't solicit this, you didn't get it. The lottery winnings, we didn't even get to touch on that. When you get notified that you've won money from the lottery, but you need to send the taxes or you need to send some kind of fee or whatever. If you didn't enter this lottery, you didn't win it.
Yeah.
Another thing I didn't know, you can't win a foreign lottery. You can only win a lottery that's valid here in the U.S. If somebody told you you won the Irish sweepstakes, it's illegal. You can't win the Irish sweepstakes.
I always heard that name, Irish sweepstakes.
Yeah. Well, you can't win it.
You have to be Irish?
You have to be in Ireland.
I think that's
maybe Irish. Scottish people can.
I have some Irish in me, I think.
That doesn't mean you have to be Irish. You have to live there. In other words, lotteries don't transfer from country to country. You have to be in that country to win it. And if you didn't buy a ticket, you can't win. Nobody's going to give you the money. If it's too good to be true, it is too good to be true. Not probably, it is.
Well,
you know what I think?
What's that?
I think there's more here to cover than we can cover.
Yeah, this is we've been going on and on. There's a lot of scammers out there.
don't know. I've got pages of notes still that we can't even get to because it's too long.
Yeah.
We can't keep going.
No, maybe so. Maybe we'll do some more scam stuff.
Yeah, because there's plenty more to go. And yeah.
We haven't even talked about the Kansas City Shuffle in detail.
No, I didn't know about that.
The Kansas City Shuffle?
Is that in the Sting?
No, that's the St. Louis Swing.
What? You're making this up at this point.
I am.
I knew it. You're one too many beers in.
Yeah, this IPA is really kicking in.
Well, so we'll have to save some of this stuff. And maybe we'll have to do another one on scams because one thing that I like, in addition to people being entertained, I like it if we actually come out with some information that can actually help people.
Yeah, it is.
And
we have actually some experts who people that work in these different kinds of departments after this discussion. Maybe we'll see if we can have one of them on or something at some point to talk about some of their fun stories or stories they've seen.
I thought we were experts.
Well, we are, but we don't work in fraud departments at different places. So,
no, but we stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
I did, but that was several nights ago.
I'm going to be at one tomorrow.
Me and Tom Servo.
I'm going to be at one tomorrow.
We were cruising the coast.
You know, it's my Tom Servo. I don't know how you claimed him.
This half of it's on my side of the table here.
Jim never said a word about, make sure Michael gets half of him. Jim said, this is for you, and I was deeply honored. I felt unworthy of receiving such a fine gift.
I'm going to pull the string, and he's going to say,
I made him talk for my granddaughter, Charlie.
You are for Michael, too.
No, you're lying now, Tom Servo. Don't say that.
Well, that brings us to our favorite part of the show.
Legal briefs.
Legal briefs is where we recap some of the different legal terms and things we've talked about. Sometimes Tommy asks me questions. He asked me one last week. But generally, I ask him questions. So usually when he asks me questions, it's about things we didn't even talk about. And he's just trying to catch me. So,
hey, but it helped somebody.
It did help somebody.
It did. Somebody wrote back. Somebody wrote in and said that they knew why there were no debts being sold out of Buffalo, New York.
That's right. Yeah. So legal briefs is a crucial part of our podcast.
That's right.
So the first term that I have is 419.
419. That's a term for that type of fraud that you were talking about. What was that, the phishing fraud?
That's the one out of Nigeria.
Oh, the Nigeria one.
Because it originates out of Nigeria. So if you see something about a 419 scam, they're talking about like kind of one of those Nigerian princes or somebody.
Is 419 the area code there?
I think it's the country code, I think.
The country code? Because that's what I had a whole list that I didn't even get to of area codes that they said don't take anything, don't take calls from that because those are usually going to be frauds.
There was one that was like a Bahamian one, I think, too, that had some sort of outrageous hourly rate for your phone calls. But yeah, the 419 is the generic term for those kinds of Nigerian scams.
No, I'm looking at the list. 419 isn't on there, so I don't know. That must have some other reference.
Yeah. Negotiable instrument.
A check is a negotiable instrument.
That's true.
That means you can negotiate it to pay for something and set a price on it or whatever.
Exactly. But it's not just necessarily a check. There can be other things. Actually, and I meant to get into this, but as you said earlier, we ran over, but like promissory notes.
Right.
Those could be negotiable instruments. Like you could do
a bond or a stock or something.
You could sign it to somebody else and they can in turn endorse it and send it to somebody else. The next term is endorsement.
Endorsement. Well, that's when you sign your name to something. Like if you got a check and then before you cash it, you endorse it by putting your name on the back of it.
Right. And a lot of these things are covered under...
I worked in a bank.
You did.
I know those things.
A lot of these things are covered under what's called the UCC. Do you remember what that stands for?
The Uniform Conduct Code.
Commercial Code.
That super, too.
Super close. But it's a book that's about, I don't know, maybe a foot and a half thick that contains all kinds of different... different things about.
They should digitize that. We could take care of that for them.
Yeah, you could. There's this big book I carried around law school. It was actually not one of the nicer books too. It wasn't like a fine leather bound volume. It was just this real kind of.
That's another thing that grinds my gears.
What's that?
No child, whatever school they're in, from grade school through high school through college, should ever be carrying around textbooks in this day and age. Everything should be digital. There's no excuse for these 50-pound backpacks these kids haul around in high school. They should all be digital. They should be on an iPad or something.
I apologize to anybody in the publishing industry who has been listening to our podcast.
Well, that's beside the point. I can't help it if they work in a dying dinosaur of an industry.
There wouldn't be a proper court-appointed podcast if I didn't apologize to somebody we've possibly offended. So that's why.
Yeah, I'd bounced one of the things I was going to say off of Mary before we came, and she said, "You can't say that." So otherwise, we'd be apologizing for something else.
Well, now everyone's going to want to know what that is.
Well, I can't say. We'd have to apologize for it, and Mary told me no. I'll get in trouble if I say it.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it on the court-appointed Facebook page.
No.
No?
That's a public forum, too.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
After we turn the mics off, I'll tell you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We had a good time.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That was the most meek thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. We appreciate your attendance at this session.
Yes.
There will be a quiz.
And on behalf of myself and my new Tom Servo that is completely and wholly mine because I paid $50 for that hat.
You did. That was an example. It's my Tom Servo. I just brought it here for the picture. It was a photo op.
Thanks, Jim. I love it.
He didn't give it to you. He said, don't let Michael touch it.
I guarantee Jim did not say that.
He did. He said, that's for you only. Don't let Michael share it with you.
All right.
If you do, I'll take it back.
We'll discuss this Tom Servo issue later.
What we got to do is do a YouTube of you and me watching a lousy movie with Tom Servo and commenting on it.
Tom told me he wants to watch football with us.
Tom told you? Oh, Tom Servo? He wants to watch football?
Of course, Tom Servo. You don't even know his name.
I thought you meant me, Tom.
No, you're Tommy.
Well, I am Tommy, but I don't know. I get confused easy.
Yeah, I don't think I ever called you Tom.
Probably not.
All right, well, that's really going to wrap us up. Thanks for
listening. Really wrapped.
We're wrapped. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually. Good. This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I'm just a dude.
Thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.